Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello again, and welcome to another one of our broadcast called The Zone. I am your host, Minister Tom Miracle. We will continue the in-depth look at the prophecy that was given in 1965 by the Holy Spirit to Stanley Funcho. We discussed on the last broadcast about Great Judgment. The coming glory and deceiving spirits, and the way of deceivers. When I look at this, it really, really, to me, at least, correlates to the dream, 2010. A whole lot. But what is so amazing is that this is 50 years ago and we're living in it now. Maybe not everything, but a lot of things are starting to unfold. A lot of things have really taken place. I mean, it's not just been Chrislam, there's been other man-made religions that have tried to step in and other false ministers who started out using the word of God to entrap people, and then as they had them hooked, as they would say, they started sharing or giving out what they wanted them to hear. And once again, when people don't get into the word of God for themselves, it's easy to be led astray. That's why there are so many groups already out there that use different topics in the Bible to get certain people that they know are vulnerable, and they give them a false hope, and they show scriptures of what they're doing, but they don't, how do I say it, they twist it to their own benefit. And I've seen some of these groups in action, and it's downright frightening because it looks so innocent, but yet it is so dark and wrong. That's why, as I've shared on every podcast, and I'll keep on saying, that it's God that builds people. People build empires. God builds people. And the way he does it is through his word and by his Holy Spirit. And no matter how big someone is ministry-wise, we're not supposed to follow them. Because when we do follow them, the question becomes, are we really following man, or are we following Jesus Christ? It's okay to support ministries and ministers that are out there doing the work of the Lord. I truly believe that. And it's okay to keep tabs on them. But there comes a time where I've been truly blessed by a lot of ministers, my mentors, I would call them, like R.W. Shambach. And there was Pastor Lee Locklear, Pastor George Vogel, and others. And there was Pastor George Eatman, who I didn't even know was a pastor, where I worked at one of the auto plants. And he told me that we're ordained you, and I wasn't even expecting that. But once again, like I said, they come into our pathways. God brings them in our direction to teach us things and the Holy Spirit trains us in them. And there comes a time where all these people who have mentored me and blessed me, and I've learned things from them, the cord gets cut. It's not out of spite or meanness. It's just that sometimes we start trying to get approval, and we want people to accept us. And the main thing is, are we trying to receive approval and praise from men, or are we looking to bless the Lord and be obedient to His word and then let Him approve us? But that's another story in itself. I just wanted to share that because, you know, like I said, we've got, there's other things like besides Chrislam, and they're already out there, and Chrislam is very, I don't know what the word you want to say. There's certain churches and certain denominations and certain ministers that are falling for hook, line, and sinker. And for the life of me, I can't figure it out how. Because if these people are trained in seminaries and Bible schools, they should know the word of God. And they should know the word does not mix darkness and light. They should know that you can't mix a man-made religion with a Christ-centered religion. Or relationship, however you want to put it. But it's happening. And I think part of the reason is because people want it to happen. In the regards of, how do I say this to you? In the regards that people take the Bible and they take it, what they want out of it, and what they don't want, they move it to the side. And so they look for certain people who will give them what they're looking for in that regard, and they'll go to that service and feel good about it because, well, they're hearing what they want to hear instead of hearing what the Lord wants them to hear. And that's the full counsel of God. So let's start off with a word of prayer, and let's continue with the prophecy given by the Holy Spirit to Stanley Fletcher in 1965. Shall we pray? Father, in the name of Jesus, we just thank you, Lord, for this moment. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to share truths that I truly believe must be recognized by all, the body of Christ and people who think that this is just going to continue on, because it's not. We are at the end of the age. We are at the end of the final hour, maybe once again the final minutes of all this compared to eternity. Lord, I pray that you open hearts and eyes and ears. I pray, Lord God, that you touch each and every one that is listening with truth. And I pray that they seek your face and believe everything I say, but believe what the word of God says, what your word says, Lord, because your word will not return void, but it will accomplish what it said to do. I pray that you bless every word that's said, anoint these lips of clay, and God, let your word go forth with power and anointing, that the truth shall set men free, and that's the word of God. And bless this broadcast as we go forth in Jesus Christ's name, amen. Okay. As we've discussed a lot already about deceivers and people being deceived and being lovers of pleasure and one of the lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, we're now going to talk about the way of triumph. And this is the next part of the message that was given in 1965. And it says, I've come that you might have life and have more abundantly, that you may triumph where I triumphed, on the cross. I triumphed over all the powers of Satan, and I've called you to walk in the same path. It is when your life is on the cross that you shall know the victory that I've experienced. As you're on the cross seated in me, then you shall know the power of the resurrection. When I come in my glory, the principalities and powers in the heavenly places shall be utterly broken. Fear not, for I have given you the power whereby you may tread down the powers of darkness and come forth victorious through every trial. If you are on the cross, then you are victorious. It was on the cross that I triumphed over all the powers of the enemy. My life shall flow through you as you enter into these precious truths. Look unto me and appropriate my life, as your eyes and desires are toward me, and you know what it is to be crucified with me. Then you shall live, and your anointing shall increase. It was not in my life as I walked on the earth, but rather in my life as I hung out on the cross, that I openly spoiled principalities and powers. I'm showing you truth that shall cause you to overcome, to have power over the wicked one. This is the truth that will liberate you and those around you. You shall know also the fellowship of my sufferings. There is no other way whereby you may partake of this heavenly glory and to reign with me. My word says, if you suffer with him, you shall reign with him. I desire to make these truths real within you. As you keep them before you, you will turn and liberate many who are in bondage. You will have revelation of those who are in darkness and will have the keys to liberate the captives. Many seek to liberate but do not have the keys. Upon the cross continually, you will know the power of my resurrection. You will indeed judge yourself, you shall not be judged. As you seek my face and desire to be cleansed by me and all truth, God's word is truth and sincerity of heart, I will judge you in the secret place. And the things that are in the secret place of your heart shall not be made manifest to others. I will do it in the secret place and no man will know it. The shame that will be seen on many faces shall not be seen on your face. Therefore, in mercy and love, I am instructing you in order that you may partake of my glory. As you are willing to walk with me and rejoice in your sufferings, you shall in turn partake of my glory. Look unto me, for you have need of power to overcome the wicked one in bondage and other lives. I said that if a man will judge himself, he shall not be judged. It is not my good pleasure that the shame of my people be seen by all. How can I judge the world if I judge not my own house? Hearken unto these things that I am telling you, for if you will not hearken unto me, thy shame shall be evident to all. So we see that the Holy Spirit of God is speaking and telling us that we should let the Word judge us and we won't need to be judged. And I truly believe that, because no matter who's ever doing the finger pointing, when God shows you in His Word what He wants changed in your life, then it's up to you to surrender and say, yes, Lord, and allow that to happen in your life. I think what's interesting about this cross is that I share what the Lord gave me on Facebook, and it says, if we don't crucify ourselves with our affections and lusts, we don't crucify ourselves with the affections of our affections and lusts, by the Holy Spirit, by the Word of God, this flesh will crucify us. So we need to keep this flesh, its desires and its wants, in check by the Word of God and through the Holy Spirit. If we don't keep it in check by the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, and we don't spend time in the Word, and we don't spend time in prayer, this flesh desires and wants will crucify us. Simple as that. And it'll mess us up. And anybody, I'm guilty. I admit it. When there's times I've got so many things going on in a day that I only spend a little bit of time in prayer. And I got to get this done and this done, this done quickly. And then I want to spend time in prayer, and something else comes up, and then something else comes up. And I want to get back in the Word, back in prayer. And then before you know it, 5-6 hours has gone by. It's nighttime. So now I want to try to spend time in the Word. But, you know, it's okay to do that. But the only thing is that you end up, you end up getting caught in too many entanglements and traps. The day was not really as victorious for you as it could be, because you didn't have time with the Lord. And this is very important. That's why it's very important. As you see, if you read about all the ministers who were men of prayer, women of prayer, they spent much time with the Lord in the morning. And then when they went forth to minister or people needed prayer, they were right on tune with the Holy Spirit, because they already spent time with God, and they were very attentive to the voice of the Lord, and they could go forth and pray for people and be right in the place they need to be, and God would move mightily for them. But it's important to allow the word, and it's a process. You know, you come to Christ, and people say, well, I got to become like you, you know, and the answer is, I don't want no one to be like me, God forbid. I'm sure, follow me as I follow Christ, but if I'm not following Christ or not following the word, don't follow me. And the thing is that I tell people, no, God takes you as you are. You surrender your will and your life to Him, and He takes you as you are. And that's why He's going to show you the mess you're in. He'll fix it. And the ugliness that once was inside is going to be all gone. And as you get into the Word of God, that Word of God is going to dominate. And instead of you responding in the old negative you, your mind will be reprogrammed, as they say, is another way to put it, by the Word of God. And so instead of responding to the fleshly way that you respond, like say someone was to hit you, you know, or call you a name, and your response in the flesh before you gave your life to Christ would be, pow, smack them good in the, you know, chin, or punch them real hard, or, you know, say something back if they say something to you. But you learn as you grow in the Lord and as you get in His Word that you realize that, as the Bible says, to avoid all appearance of evil, and ministers mine, saith the Lord, I shall repay. And the Bible also says, let no corrupt communication, that's in Ephesians, I believe, chapter 4 or 5, I think it's 4, it says, let no corrupt communication proceed of your mouth, but that which is good, the use of edifying, that it may minister grace or mercy to the hearers. And as the Word of God becomes more and more and more a part of your life, the more and more changes will come, and more the Holy Spirit will, like they say, put the light on you and show you areas that need to be changed more. And that will come in time, and that will come with maturity and the process day by day in the Lord. So it's important to, as what's being spoken here, to realize that your strength, your source, your power, your instruction, your guidance is by the Holy Spirit through the Word of God. Okay, this is the last part of the 1965 prophecy. Is God's part and our part? I would have you consider my life on earth. The anointing on me was great, and yet the temptation were great on every side. They came in one form and then another, offering me the first glory of the kingdoms of the earth, and then in the form of reviling and persecution. There will be great glory given to my people, but also the temptations will be intensified on every side. Think not that with the glory there shall be no temptations, persecutions. The glory to my church shall be great, and so also the temptations from the enemy to turn my people from my path. I warn you again that when the glory shall be manifested, the temptation shall be great, until a very few that started shall finish the course. First of all, they shall be offered great worldly possessions, and then will come revilings and unbelief. Consider, O Lord, that as he walks, so shall be for you. That there shall be no need of great intensity of purpose. At times it will seem that everyone is rising up against you, trying to turn you from the course I set for you. It is written of me that I set my face as a flint to go in the direction that my Father had prescribed for me. If you finish the course the Lord has laid down for you, you too will have to set your face as a flint. With great determination, you must walk in the course laid down for you. Many of your loved ones and those who follow with you will seek to persuade you and try to turn you from the course. With many words that seem right and natural, they will speak to you. Didn't that Christ rebuke Peter, who would turn him from the course God had prescribed? And I think that's very true. You know, the Bible says that we have to love God more than ourselves, more than everything, family. He's got to be first. And people say, well, that's pretty harsh. Well, it's simply true. I remember the one scripture that Jesus said, follow me. And the guy said, well, let me bury my dad, I believe it was. And he said, let the dead bury their dead, but come follow me. And I'll tell you, sometimes this walk can be very difficult. Sometimes you feel so all alone because everybody seems to not get what you have to do that the Lord has directed you by His Holy Spirit. But if it's according to the Word and the doors are opening and you start seeing it and you sense in your spirit that these doors are closing and other doors are opening, you've got to obey God. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with waiting on the Lord and making sure it's the right move. You know, sometimes God will speak, but it doesn't mean it has to be right away. But if he's drawing you in that direction, then start leaning in that direction and see which way it goes. Because whatever way the Holy Spirit's going to take you, that's going to be the right way. And, you know, I remember when people told me, and the Lord's going to use you in a great and mighty way, you know, and some people, you know, well, gee, golly, I guess I got to quit my job. I got to do this. I got to do that. I got to do this. No, no. You put that on the shelf and you wait and see the manifestations how God is going to do it. Because, see, when God says He'll use you in a great and mighty way, that great and mighty way may be totally different than the way you or I would perceive it. So we have to wait on the Lord. But like I said, when we see the door start happening, I mean, when He called me to Arizona, I didn't want to come here. I wanted to keep my near $100,000 paying job. I had my, you know, $220,000 over 3 acre land and everything going for me, and it's in Michigan, and I didn't want to come here. There's no way. But yet there was an emptiness that started happening. My house, the home, didn't feel like a home anymore. I felt out of place. Things just started to not come together where I was at in Michigan. It seemed awkward. It seemed like the drive and everything was not there no more. And it felt like I was just being. And I knew that God was like starting to shut doors. And eventually He opened doors in Arizona, and we are here. And it's been amazing because He sent us to Yuma, and we didn't know nobody in Yuma, didn't even know anybody in ministry in Yuma. But this is what it is, walking by faith. And let me tell you something. What I did ain't nothing compared to what other ministers have done. I believe John G. Lake going across over to Africa, he didn't have a dime to his name. But he went by faith. And others as well. And then that's the faith walk. And it's a walk that takes you out of your comfort zone. It takes you out of what you're secure in. But it's a walk that brings you into a greater anointing, a greater awareness of His presence, and a greater dependability on Him. And that's what He wants. He doesn't want us to depend on Egypt, the ways of the world. He wants us to depend on Him, the Lord, Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach. The Bible says, cursed is he that puts his trust in man. You know, blessed is he that puts his trust in the Lord. So, you know, and this didn't happen, you know, give your life to Christ day one and day two, you shipped to Arizona. This happened, golly, 2010. So if my math is right, that's over 33 years later. And now he moves us now over, you know, to the West Valley, just west of Phoenix. And it was amazing, like I said. And like I said, God will. I was in California. I was at this church. I'll say this. I don't want to continue too much on this, but I just want to show you when God starts speaking to you he starts showing you things and people don't agree with it or can't see it, if you start sensing it in the Holy Spirit and the doors start opening and there's that awareness and all of a sudden things start really taking place, you just gotta follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. Because like I said, I was in California and I was at this church and I got this pass, you know, to clean up and all those things at a fitness place. And the Holy Spirit said to me, he said, "What does this remind you of?" And I said, "It reminds me of Phoenix." He says, "Right, and it's time to move on. It's time to leave Yuma, and I'm sending you over into the western suburbs of Phoenix area." And sure enough, the place he showed me, I felt in my spirit, that's exactly where we ended up. And you know what's amazing is that, how do I put this to you? Is that it was like in the area, the location you're going to be in, it's going to have a fitness place. So we're looking at this house and to reside in, and all of a sudden we leave it and we like it and we agree to it. And all of a sudden we look and to our left and my wife, and she says, look. And I says, "Well, now what?" You know, and all of a sudden there was a fitness center there. And sure enough, we got the place. So I'm just saying this to let you know, when God's directing you and leading you and people say, "Yeah, that's crazy. That's not God." And it starts to develop and starts to take place and you sense it in your spirit and in your heart and follow it. And then just see which way the Lord takes it. Because God will never lead you wrong. He'll lead you and guide you in all truth by his word. Okay, let's move on. Understand these two things and meditate on them solemnly. The persecution and the darkness shall be as great as the glory in order to try to turn the elect, the anointed ones from the path the Lord has laid down for them. Many shall start, but few shall be able to finish because of the greatness of graces shall be needed to be able to endure until the end. The temptation and the persecution of your Lord was continuous. He was tempted by Satan in many forms throughout his entire life, and even to the cross where the ungodly cried out, "If thou be the Christ, come down from the cross." Think not that there will be no time of persecution, for this shall be from time of your anointing until the end. Difficulties and great persecution will go on to the end. The Lord must prepare you to be an overcomer in all things, that you may be able to finish the course. The persecution shall increase even as the anointing shall increase. So this is true. This is a war. This is holy war. I mean, it's bottom line. You know, when you gave your life to Christ, all hell got the news. All heaven got the news. The angels know. The demons know. And it's a fight for your soul. And this fight is all the way to the end. I tell people, I said, if you start slow, finish strong. If you start strong, finish stronger. And it's not what, I mean, it's important, of course, always to take the first step. But it's important to cross the line at the finish. And it's going to be by the grace of God, because I'm going to tell you, after almost going on 40 years, almost 40, this is, I think, 38 for me this year, by the grace of God, it's the grace of God. I can't do this on my own. I know I can't. There's no way. The trials, the persecutions, the temptations, by the grace of God, go I. And that's what the only way we're going to make it is by God's grace and by him carrying us. Some of the times, the difficult times, the hard times, my mom leaving, you know, it was very hard, but God got me through it. You know, and other times where I've lost things that were dear to me, a house, job, all my insurance gone, and it broke me. But yet God kept saying, keep taking a step forward. And I know that it wasn't in my strength I was doing. I knew it was in his strength that I was making that step. So I'm telling you straight up, I can't do this on my own. It's the grace of God. It's the Holy Spirit of God working through me to carry me and to get me to the finish line. Because I know in myself, in my own strength, I can't beat the devil. It takes the name of Jesus Christ. It takes the word of God. Without him, I can do nothing. Zero, zero, nothing. And I know that to be honestly true. I depend on him. And he's brought me through. so far, because without him, I would have failed miserably, and I would not have been able to get up. But he pulled me out of the miry clay, and he set my feet on a rock to stay. And he is the one who gives me the strength, and he is the one who gives me the ability and the power of endurance to keep moving on. It is by the grace of God. In paths of judgment and righteousness shall the Lord lead his people and bring them into that place which he has chosen for them. The Lord has chosen a place for his people, a place of righteousness and holiness, where he shall encamp around them. All who will be led of the Lord will be brought into this holy place. The Lord delights to dwell in his people and to manifest himself through his people. This is so true. The holiness of the Lord will be manifested through his people. Let the Lord lead you, and he will lead you in the difficult places. He led his people of old to a place where no man dwelt, where no man passed through, in a place of great danger and in the shadow of death, the wilderness. The Lord will indeed lead his people again through such places, and at the same time will bring them out unto a place of great glory. Understand that the way toward the glory is fraught with great danger, and many shall fall to the right or left. Many shall camp on lesser ground, but the Lord has a place of holiness, and no unclean shall dwell among his people. Put your trust in him, and he will bring you into a place of holiness. He desires to bring his people into a great glory, the likes of which has never been seen. But this is what the Lord will do for those who put their trust in him. It's the place of darkness and great danger, and will separate his people in the place where he would have them walk. He will protect them from the voices that would turn them from his path. He will bring them through the dark places and treacherous paths and lead them out into the light of his glory. He will rejoice greatly over his beloved and cause them to be filled with joy unspeakable. He seeks to lead his people into a new place of grace and glory where he will indeed camp among them. Put your trust in him, and he will surely bring you in this new place. Fear not the days to come, but fear this only, that you shall walk in a manner pleasing the Lord. In this time I'm ordering and setting up my church, and it shall indeed be pure without spot or wrinkle. I will do a work in my beloved that has not been seen since the foundation of the world. I have shown you these things that you may seek the Lord diligently with all your heart, and that you may be a perseverer of his people. But not to this one or that one, for the Lord has so ordained that salvation is in him and him alone. The chrism is not of God. It ain't happening. It is Antichrist. Run away from it. Flee from it and get away from it as far as you can. You shall not turn to this shepherd or to that one, for there shall be a great scattering upon the earth. Therefore look unto him, for he will indeed make things clear to you. You shall not look here or there, for his well shall increase your strength and your faith as he prepares you for the times that are coming. Now, I want to stop there for a moment. See, this is something what people don't get. A lot of people don't get. Some do. It was hard for me until when I got the storm warning dream. Then I realized, oh my gosh, it's not just about grace and reading the Bible a little bit and praying. It's about getting prepared through the Holy Spirit. Become a warrior for Christ in the midst of the storm. And that's, you know, think about it. It's common sense when you think about it. If there's a tornado coming or a hurricane, what do people do over in Florida and in the Bahamas, in the Caribbean? They board up their stores. They board up their houses. They go to the stores to get water. They go to the stores to get food. They go to the stores to get whatever supplies they need to go through the storm. And they secure their house. They board it up. They nail it shut. They do whatever they can so their house is secure. When the winds come and the rains come and the power of hurricane force winds attack their house, they try their best to preserve it and stand in the storm, or at least be safe in the storm. And so that's what I believe the Holy Spirit of God told me, and he wants to tell the body of Christ. You have to prepare. You have to prepare for the storm that's coming. We've read here, and it's so true, and we're seeing it today. The Bible says that I mean, how does it say? It says, natural exercise profit little, but godly exercise has great gain. What that means is spiritually is that you get yourself spiritually strong in the Lord. How do you do that? You read his word. Here we go again. And you seek time in prayer with him. Not no 5-minute prayer. Not no prayer that you see and you read it real quick and that's it. I mean, if you only have time to do that during the day, at least do it. But time in communion unto the Lord. Fasting. And I don't mean you have to fast, go straight to water, but maybe you can just fast not watching a program on TV and spend time with the Lord. Or denying yourself a meal, you know, and take that time and spend it with the Lord. And this is preparation. And as you read the word and as you spend time with the Lord in prayer and in fasting, and if that's what he leads you to do, you'll understand what he wants you to do through his spirit, because he will reveal it by his word to you. And as he does that, you will become stronger and stronger in his word, and the Holy Spirit will use that word to bring out rivers of living water out of you to touch other people's hearts and lives, and your life as well. And I believe with all my heart that you'll have a greater awareness by the Holy Spirit. The anointing will become stronger on you. And you will start working your way to being that God-called man, God-called woman that you are God-called to be. So, preparation. And when I share the storm warning dream, or when I'm sharing this is not to put fear in the body of Christ. Now, this should put fear in people who aren't saved. This should put fear in people who are living a life of sin and wickedness and not serving Jesus Christ. It should put a fear to make them realize, oh my gosh, I need to get right with Christ. I need to get right with the Lord. I need to come to know him as Savior and not flee from the wrath to come by being anchored in the rock, which is Christ. But for the Christian, the Christ-like person, the Christ-like follower, these messages is not to scare you, but these messages are to make you understand and awaken and rise to your holy calling and to prepare in the Lord through his word and by prayer, and to see the signs of the coming storm and the storm that's on the horizon, and get ready. Get ready to stand and get ready to grab a hold of those who are sinking, like the sinners, the unsaved, and grab a hold of them and help them learn the gospel, or show them the gospel so they too can receive Jesus Christ, Savior and Lord. Okay, let's finish this. Run not to this one or that one, for the Lord has ordained the salvation of him and him alone. You shall not turn to this shepherd or to that one, for there should be a great scattering upon the earth. Therefore, look unto him, for he will indeed make things clear to you. And the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit leads in all truth. He is the comforter. He is the one who does the teaching, and he will make things clear, always. And you should not look here or there, for as well shall increase your strength and your faith as he prepares you for the times that are coming. And they are coming. And they have to come, because the end of the age is here. We're in the final hour, maybe in the last few minutes, but we're there. And everything is going to start to unwrap, and everything is going to be put in its place to bring us to the end of the Gentile age. Last paragraph. The truth that I reveal to you must become a part of you, not just an experience, but a part of your very nature. Is it not written that I demand truth in the inward parts? It is the truth that the Lord expresses in your very being that shall hold you. And I truly believe that with all my heart. It's the word of God that we stand by. Many shall experience the truth, but the truth must become a part of you. And that's so true, because the Bible says, Paul says, we're written epistles read among men. And that means, you know, we're living stones also. And it's not what we say, it's the word of God being expressed in action and indeed through love. Many shall experience truth, the truth shall become a part of your very life. As men and women look upon you, they will not hear only the voice, but here it is, but see the expression of the truth, your actions. Many shall be overcome because they are not constant in my ways, and because they have not permitted the truth to become a part of them. I am showing you these things that you may be prepared, and having done all, to stand. So, this is the prophecy given to Stanley Fronsham by the Holy Spirit in 1965. And God has been, and like I said, I didn't get the storm warning message, and the storm warning message to me parallels a lot with this message. And I know that I'm not the only one. I know that God has other people that he has given this message to, and they are getting it out every which way they can, in all the nations that they can get to. And I believe that there's people in other nations across the other side of the world that God has given this message to reach the body of Christ and to reach people who are still dead in trespasses and sin, and realize that the end is coming and they need to turn to Jesus Christ and repent and receive him as Savior and Lord. I truly believe that with all my heart, and I stand on that because I believe because we're there. It's just as simple as that. And so if this message is brought holy conviction to you, and you now realize that you need a Savior, or you've gave your life to Christ, but you kind of you started going through the motions, and you've lost that first love or that drive, that zeal, and you've been entangled with stuff, and you haven't spent time. Well, it's time now to break those chains, and it's time now to repent and ask the Lord to just give you a fresher anointing, a greater holy bonus, a hunger and thirst for his word. And like I said before, if you don't know Christ, if you want to pray this prayer with me, very simple prayer, just made from your heart, and you can become part of the family of God by receiving Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. Shall we pray? Father, in the name of Jesus, I come to you right now. I ask that you forgive me of all my sins. Forgive me of all my wickedness, all my rebelliousness. I'm tired of running, Lord. I'm tired of running. Things I've tried just aren't working. And I just feel your love drawing me toward you. And I want that love to just manifest in my life. I believe that you are the Son of God. I believe you are the Messiah. You are the Savior of the world. And I ask now you come in my life, come in my heart, change me, rearrange me, mold me into what you've had me become. I receive you now as my Savior and Lord. I thank you, Lord, for the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I thank you, Lord, for leading me and guiding me in all truth. I thank you, Lord, my sins are forever gone. My name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Help me, hold on to me, don't let me go. Make me stronger in your word, give me desire for your word, and let me be the man or woman, or if you're a woman, the woman that your God called to be. Thank you for eternal life. Thank you for forgiving me of all my sins. Thank you now that I'm now part of the family of God in Jesus Christ's name. If you prayed that prayer, God bless you. And if you've rededicated your life to Christ and you prayed that prayer, God bless you also. It's time. It's time to realize that the hour is upon us and we must prepare for what's coming. Persecution already across the world has become harder on the Christian. And now there are certain people that are trying to take away the rights that we had before, and persecution from different groups attacking Christians, and it's just going to continue. But God's anointing is going to be stronger upon His church, and God's anointing and glory is going to be stronger. But we got to realize, you know, the enemy's not just going to stand around and let us pray for people and people receive signs, miracles, and wonders, and blind see, lame walk, deaf hear, and souls and hundreds and thousands of souls come. It's going to be a fight. You got to realize it's going to be a fight. This is a war, and that's why you got to be spiritually strong in the Lord, and you've got to be prepared in Christ. You got to have full armor on, which is the helmet of salvation, breastplate of righteousness, your loins girded with the Spirit of truth, feet shod with grace of God's peace, swords of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and above all the shield of faith, whereby we quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And then it says, always praying in the spirit, you know, in prayer of supplication for all saints. Well, that's part of it too. And have sword and shield in hand, and the word, and the anointing, and the glory of God. And this will come by seeking his face, reading his word, and spending time with him. And no other way. You know, impartation is good when people impart, you know, and they do that. But the point is you have to stir up the gift. Paul said to Timothy, stir up the gift that's within you. And how do you do that? Once again, prayer, worship, reading God's word, studying God's word, meditating on God's word, eating and drinking it seriously, you know. And when you do those things, you'll begin, if you're just a newborn babe in Christ, it'll be milk to you. But as you grow and grow and the word becomes stronger, you'll be eating, in other words, eating it. How do I say it? You'll understand the more deeper things of God. That's the best way to put it. And you will, because the Holy Spirit will move you in that direction. And here's the thing I just want to say to you all. You know, it's okay to go to, if you want to go to seminary and you feel that, go for it. Bible college, great. Go for it. But here's the thing. You got to understand this. The greatest teacher is the Holy Spirit of God. And he trains, and when he trains, it's not under an A, B, C, D, E grade scale. It's either you pass or you have to wait until you're retrained, then you can move on to the next grade. And we can't fool the Holy Spirit. He knows exactly how we respond to things that we respond to. And that's important, because promotion doesn't come from man. It comes from the Lord. And just wait upon the Lord. Humble yourself before God and trust him. Because he will never leave you nor forsake you, and he will never fail you. He is true to his word. Okay, if you've said that prayer and you receive Jesus Christ, or you just want to say, hey, you know, I've enjoyed the broadcast. I really, it's been a great blessing to me. Or you might say, you know what, I didn't get it. You need to explain more to me about it. Well, I just want to say hi. Our P.O. Box is 6261, Goodyear, Arizona, 85338. That's P.O. Box 6261, Goodyear, Arizona, 85338. Our Facebook groups are Storm Warning, Native Americans for Christ, and Continued Prayer for Persecuted Church, America, the Nations, and the Awakening. So before we go up the air, I'd like to pray for people who need healing and people who need deliverance and a change broken over their life. Amen. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just thank you, Lord, for the people you've healed today and the miracles and signs and wonders that you've done. I thank you, Lord, for the greatest miracle of all, the miracle of salvation. I pray, Lord God, that these who have given their life to you will now come to a greater understanding of your love for them, your mercy and your grace. I pray, Lord, that they will be witnesses for you, and they will share the gospel with holy boldness, but yet with love and mercy and truth. I pray you just bless them, encourage them, and let the blessing of the Lord overflow them, and let them be used for your glory in the mighty name of Jesus. I pray, Lord God, for anyone who is sick, anyone who needs a miracle, anyone where the doctors have come to a place where they don't see an answer. I pray, Jesus Christ, you are the answer. Raise them up, Lord. Let the blind see, the lame walk, the deaf hear, miracles to take place, sicknesses to go, cancer, autism, sickle cell anemia, sugar diabetes, all sicknesses, disease. I break your power. I break the works of darkness, working through the sicknesses, disease, attacking people's bodies and coming against their bodies. Just right now, we come against the sickness and disease and command to die and be destroyed in the mighty name of Jesus, the anointing and the power of God. Thank you, Lord, for ministering and touching those who are hurting, those who are depressed and downtrodden and downcast. I break that suicide spirit. I break that spirit of depression, fear, doubt, unbelief to go, faith to come alive. I pray, Lord God, you get people over to these people, that they can hear the word of the Lord and know of your love for them, and that they are loved by you, and that you will receive them unto yourself. You will, and you will be their Savior and their Lord. I break the works of the enemy, working through Boko Haram, ISIS, Al-Qaeda, and all the other man-made religion extremist groups that are trying to hurt people. I break the spirit of murder and the spirit of lust. I break the spirit of greed. I pray, Lord God, that they're not able to succeed in what the enemy's plans to use them win. I pray, Lord God, that you bring great conviction up upon them. I pray, Lord God, they can't sleep. They can't get no rest. I pray, Lord God, that they realize that they're just being used by the devil, and they need to turn around and repent and surrender their lives to you in Jesus Christ's name. I pray, Lord God, for our people in governments and our leadership, our executive, legislative, and judicial branches. I pray, Lord God, all those people who are doing things that are not of you, that they be exposed. I pray, Lord God, that you put the right person in the office of president for 2016. I pray, Lord God, that for the great awakening, great revival, that your people will hunger and thirst for you and seek your face, and that they will reach out to the hurting and to the lost, and share the gospel of you, Lord Jesus Christ, good news, that they too can be saved and reign and live with you forever. I just thank you, Lord, for hearing my prayer, and I just thank you, Lord, for answering a petition and request. And I just thank you, God, for all you're doing and all you've done. I praise you and give you all the glory and honor in Jesus Christ's name. Amen and amen. Well, thanks again for allowing me to share. And I pray it was a blessing for you. And as I go off the air, once again, I will say this every time I can at the end of our broadcast. And I pray that the Holy Spirit makes you really understand that people build empires, but God builds people through and by his word and by the anointing and the power of the Holy Spirit. God bless you all. And thank you.